sure in is running.
Scott, is the projector on?
What's that?
Come in. It's there. Not closer this way, but definitely closer this way. Lovely to see you. Scott, would you open that back up? Thank you. So, before we get started, we've already lost 6 of our number. I mean, not permanently, as far as we know. You know, they're just home, I'm sure, doing the Huber cure. However, given that, let's be extra mindful, shall we? And one of the places that I want you to be extra mindful is I see people in dyads, and they must have some fear that someone is going to overhear them, because they get into this, like this. It's almost not privileged environment, along with everything else, okay? So, don't do that, okay? We're all going to know everything about you before this is over. So, just give it up tonight and save yourself from those germs like that.
Speaking of germs, I keep on looking at the handle into the meditation mode that you have to turn and then you open it. I don't want to touch it. Is somebody cleaning that off, or should I take that on as a job?
Take that on as a job. We nominate you.
Disinfect that constantly.
Constantly. God knows what might happen. All right. Very good.
So this title is this retreat is based on our book, Don't Suffer, Communicate. And so, since it's about ending suffering through communication, we figured we'd start by looking at what the Buddha said about communication. Right? Can everyone hear me? Just wave if you can't. So, the third fold of the Eightfold Path is compassionate speech that makes for clarity. And so, what is compassionate speech? And the Buddha actually defined what compassionate speech is. And if I can project, so it would be...
Is it back there?
Not quite yet.
Well, I'll tell you while it warms up. So compassionate speech is abstaining from lying, abstaining from divisive speech, abstaining from abusive speech, and abstaining from idle chatter. Okay, so compassionate speech is abstaining from lying.
I was good on the first three.
Abstaining from lying, abstaining from divisive speech, abstaining from abusive speech, and abstaining from idle chatter. And he further clarified this. So he said, compassionate speech is that which is spoken at the right time. It's spoken in truth. It's spoken affectionately. It's spoken beneficially. And it's spoken with a mind of goodwill. So spoken at the right time, spoken in truth, spoken affectionately, spoken beneficially, and spoken with goodwill. Okay? And, still not, ah, there it is.
Yeah.
It flickered.
There you go.
Go ahead.
Well, for the next part, if I actually read it out, everyone's going to go completely crazy. But I'll read it out and then hope for the best. And so apparently when the Buddha was asked to clarify this further, he was asked in a court, and there was a prince named Abhaya to whom he gave a sutra on what he considers before speaking. Because the thesis of the don't suffer, communicate is we're never communicating. It's the conditioned ego that is always communicating. And so it goads us into saying things we don't want to say and not saying things we do want to say, right? And so he actually offered us a matrix of all the things that should be taken into consideration if you're practicing compassionate speech around what to say and what not to say.
It's what made Buddhism a silent practice.
Okay, so we're just going to have to fly with this, okay? So take good notes, because the...
Well, not really. No.
Oh.
It'll come up sooner or later.
So here's the steps, right? In the case of words that the Tathagata knows to be unfactual, untrue, unbeneficial, unenduring, and disagreeable to others, he does not say them. Right? Unfactual, untrue, unbeneficial, unenduring, and disagreeable to others, he does not say them. In the case of the words that the Tathagata knows to be factual, true, but unbeneficial, unenduring, and disagreeable to others, he does not say them. Okay? In the case of the words that the Tathagata knows to be factual, true, beneficial, but unenduring and disagreeable to others, he has a sense of the proper time to say them. In the case of the words that the Tathagata knows to be unfactual, untrue, unbeneficial, but enduring and agreeable to others, he does not say them. In the case of the words that the Tathagata knows to be factual, true, unbeneficial, but enduring and agreeable, he does not say them. And finally, in the case of the words that the Tathagata knows to be factual, true, beneficial, and enduring, and agreeable to others, he has a sense of the proper time for saying them. Why is that? Because the Tathagata has sympathy for living beings.
What is that word you're using?
Tathagata is the person who went that way. It's another word for the Buddha. The awakened.
You've read it many, many times. It's just when she says it, you realize you were saying something very different. Is this true for most people? We've all. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so this is going to be challenging, because what we were going to ask you to do, Rebecca.
Were you saying enduring or endearing?
Enduring.
Endearing.
With you.
Enduring as an E-N-D-E-A-R-I-N-G.
Enduring.
Since one of the components of compassionate speech is it's spoken affectionately. So if you're enduring, yeah. Because, go ahead, Mark.
Well, I was just going to ask a question. How do we know what truth is?
Good question.
When you're the Buddha, apparently you know. So... that would encourage us along our way.
If you have all these things, factual, I can kind of get a sense of the endearing and the beneficial and you know all that. I can't, but the truth, I just stumble all over that.
Well, yes, that is probably wise. However, if you said, I have a toothache, that would be true for you, probably. So if we don't get terribly global about the whole thing, you know what you consider to be true. Yeah? I hope you don't, by the way. You know, when we were laying this out, the one thing that we never considered was this. How do you format it? Do you put some little things on it to make it look nice? Should it be all on one page? Should they be separated by...
I'm going to try one more time, and then otherwise we're just going to do the high-level exercise.
There.
Desperation. Okay. Here's the exercise.
So the first exercise is to look at the steps. In which ways are you practicing compassionate speech? Just look at the steps and you'll jot down which ways are you practicing compassionate speech, and which of these steps do you feel challenged by?
Do you feel challenged by?
Challenged by. So as you look at it, I mean, it's said in a fairly archaic way, but if you look at it and go, when do you tend to say things? And when do you tend to say things that the Tathagata wouldn't say? Right? Are you good, Kate? Am I in your way?
No. It's just a little bit out of focus for me.
Yeah, I'm having trouble.
It's not focused?
Borrow my specs?
Yeah. Can you make it a little bigger or
no? No, that's about the bigger, that's as big as we can get it.
Old folks. And if somebody can't see it, go up there. It's fine.
And you know, it might be tempting to try to get the matrix down, but when I read it, for example, I was looking at, I sometimes say things that are enduring and agreeable even if they're not beneficial or true.
What was the original question?
So, look at the steps, Phil, and which of the ways do you feel like you do practice compassionate speech? Because you do what the Buddha does.
And where do you find yourself regularly kind of tripping up? Because what Ashwini originally put out was there are times when we might say what we wish we hadn't said, and times when we don't say what we wish we had said or would like to be able to say. So just kind of finding your way through all that.
Need a spreadsheet.
And one way to do it is just bring up an example in your life and just run it through and see. In this case, what do I do? Yes?
My pen ran out of ink.
Oh, does anyone have a pen to lend
yours? Yours too?
Yeah, almost.
Wow. Deepa has one here to Joyce. Back there, Deepa. Anyone else? Risa has one here for... Oh, go ahead, Kevin.
Kevin's
thanks,
got
Risa,
one.
We got it.
Thank you.
just watch your process as you do it too. Are people okay with this? Like, you're getting it? Okay, good.
We get the hard stuff out of the way on the first night, okay? And then we can just cruise after that. Okay, how are you doing? I mean, is it you need a little more time, or?
I just wrote the chart. I just finished the chart.
You wrote it all out?
No, I just said plus, minus. I made a spreadsheet.
You made your own spreadsheet. All right. I'm just trying to get a sense of whether we go on to the next thing, or are you stunned? Are you?
Do you need some assistance on how to approach it?
Okay, now then we get the. Oh yeah, me too. Yeah, all right. Okay.
Go ahead, Janet. What are you confused about?
Well, what was helping me was when you said think of something,
right.
Because otherwise I'm just
absolutely.
Like, oh,
it's like I don't even know what this means. So
well, and the interesting thing about that. So if you did that, you know, you think about a situation. Mm-hmm. Are there people who tend to be in one category, and then others who are in another category? Are there people that you would tend to say the agreeable, endearing things, and if it's not all that true, well, who cares? And are there other people or other circumstances? You know, maybe you're. It's the end of the day, and it hasn't been your best day, and so it doesn't really matter how, because you're going to say the. So just looking at all the, or some anyway, of the permutations. Not that there's going to be a way you are, I think, probably.
So here's an example. I'm talking to a customer service rep who says, how's your day? And I say, you know what? It's fabulous. And I'm having the worst time. That's untrue. Is it beneficial? Absolutely. Because I don't want to dump my bad mood on the customer service rep. Is it enduring? Yeah. Is it disagreeable? No. Is it factual? It's not. Right? So if you think of a situation of different kinds of people you're talking to, then it might give you some insight into, oh, well, when I'm talking to someone I really know, I'm going to give the unvarnished facts. But for somebody who I'm not, maybe I'm... You can look at it. You don't have to tick all the boxes, but just look to see some places where one of the two of the... Either you do or you don't say something, enduring or not, will allow you to get a sense of it. Does that help? Is that helpful?
There isn't a right answer. We're not looking for a right answer here. Just to open up the... Yeah.
Would beneficial or unbeneficial be for self or for other or for both?
Well, since there is no self and other.
Gotcha.
Although we usually think there is. well, we think there is, but I mean, who else would there be? We only ever have our own experience.
Well, but you might say something that you think might be beneficial to the other.
You would think that, but who would think that? You would.
Yeah.
Yeah. So all roads lead back to there's only one of us.
Okay. Scratch that.
Yeah, Anne.
Well, I don't know whether this is what you're asking, so I thought I would check it out, but it was really helpful for me to read that and look to see where do I have difficulty communicating.
Yes.
And so, you know, for me, it's and I guess.
Well, now, do we want to talk about it?
We don't want to talk about it, but if it's helpful for other people, maybe an example would help.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Oh, well, the one about factual, true, beneficial, but unendearing and disagreeable. I mean, I just go, yeah, there's my challenge.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a good approach.
And that's really, since the email class, I mean, I didn't know this, I hadn't put it in that words, but that's really what I've been working on since the email class.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so if it's not endearing or endearing to another person and could be disagreeable, you're challenged to communicate it, even if it's true for you or the facts of the
situation. And beneficial.
And
I
beneficial.
I see that for the situation, for everyone, you know, what's most compassionate for all is to communicate that, and I can see how I'm stopped from doing that and see how that's not helpful.
That's
to,
right.
Because I don't want to deal with the unendearing and the disagreeable, then I don't say anything, and then, ooh, do we have a problem.
Right. Well, and that's one where the Buddha would know when and how to say it.
Well, that's what was beautiful about this, is that there's a proper time so that, oh, there's that sense of something needs to be said. I don't really want to say it, but I know that it needs to be said. So, okay, I'm going to be open to when will something arise to be said here?
Mm-hmm.
But so that it's really not, you know, it's like kind of like life, whatever, you know what I mean?
Yes, yes.
So that proper time thing to me is really important too.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm really already enjoying this retreat. It's amazing.
Very, very good, very good. That's all we ask. Ken?
Yeah, for me, I think I'd almost have to become more aware of this and run it through after I've had a few conversations and see where I'm
Yes, exactly.
I know for one of the areas that I have trouble is when I want something out of the conversation. I'm trying to get the vibe.
Uh-huh. So you're kind of finessing it around to...
Or just freight training over them.
Oh, freight training over them. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
And so freight training might be... It might not be agreeable to them. Or it might not be enduring to them.
Be.
Yeah. And so that could be one of those places that you tick off as this is where I'm not practicing compassionate speech. Well, I don't want to take examples because I want to go to the next step of the exercise. Is anyone having trouble with this still?
Just the last one, for the factual, true, beneficial, endearing, and agreeable to others. I'm having a hard time thinking of when that applies. If you guys have guidance for thinking of those situations when that does arise.
You've never had an experience where it felt like that?
See, I want to say yes, but then it feels, I don't know, it feels a little egotistical maybe, and... You know, is my truth the same truth as others? So I guess maybe I'm just having a hard time going to that one.
Let me give you an example.
Sure.
Let's just say you meet a beautiful woman on the street. it's factual and true that she's beautiful, it's probably going to be a compliment to her that you say it's endearing. I mean, if you said that to her,
sure.
But would you go up and accost her and say, "Hey, I think you're very beautiful"?
You'd be part of a movement.
Right? And so there's a proper time that you might offer that. Because for you, all of those are true. It's true, it's factual, it's right. Enduring and agreeable and beneficial from okay. your perspective. Mm-hmm. But really, I might not say it at that moment.
Right. And it's all coming back to me.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Pasha?
I have trouble on the English word endearing.
Endearing. Endearing. Synonym for?
Affection.
Lovable.
Affectionate.
Lovable.
Closeness.
Closeness.
Pleasing.
Pleasing, yeah.
Appreciative.
Appreciative.
Mm-hmm. Kind.
Kind.
Although there are many of those, it could be, but it wouldn't necessarily be endearing. It's kind. It feels to me like there's an element of...
sweet.
Well, and but it's relationship,
invoking.
Right? It's endearing. So you are happily
connected.
Well, yeah. I'm going to say this. You find it charming. You think I'm dear. You feel
yes.
friendly toward me, or
yeah.
is that?
That
is that?
Yeah.
yeah. No.
Yeah, that works.
Okay. Who else? Somebody else said. Anyone? Oh, Carol. Are you gonna?
Well, we're not talking about this. We're
okay.
asking questions, right? So I'll
okay.
bring it up later.
Next.
I keep coming back to compassionate speech that makes for clarity.
Uh-huh.
And I'm sort of trying to put this under the rubric of clarity.
Yeah. I would probably stick with the compassionate speech part.
Okay, maybe drop the clarity part.
For now.
That's clear?
We'll get back to clarity.
Mm-hmm. All right. So here's the next step. So pick one of those steps to work with. Where you find yourself not doing what the Buddha would do, right? So pick any one of those that you arrived at that you're not doing that what the Buddha would do. And have a specific example of this. So find yourself in that communication situation and find an example of where either you're not enduring or and you say something or you're disagreeable and you don't say something or Anne gave us a beautiful example of it. And then... look to the example and see if you can spot the conditioning for you there. Right? What's the conditioning? Is that clear for everybody? What's going on for you that causes you to say something, or causes you not to say something, or causes you to say it at an inappropriate time? Right? What's really going on? What's the conditioning? So that's the first question. And the second question is, what would you say is the identification for you there? So who's the I? If you had to describe the person in that situation, who would be the I that's communicating?
Or not communicating.
Or not communicating. Is that clear? What's the conditioning for you? What's going on for you in that situation? What's sort of the nature of the identification? Are you angry? Are you afraid? Are you anxious? And who's there? Who's communicating? What's the ego communicating there?
Which aspect of the ego?
Thank you.
Okay, you getting close?
Yeah.
Yeah? Yeah. Okay, are you ready to take this on the road? Yeah? Find someone you do not know. Isn't it easy? The first night, they're everywhere. Somebody you don't know, and partner up with them, please.
You don't have a partner?
Huh. How is that possible?
Who are we missing? I'll partner with you, but...
Okay, who's not here? Huh.
I guess we counted wrong, but I'll go sit with Joyce.
All right. Thank you. Oops. All right, so if you would decide who's going to go first and who's going to go second. And everyone knows how this goes. Anybody not? No? Okay. If you're the first person, if you go first, you're going to tell your partner about whatever you want to tell your partner about your experience, okay? And your partner's job is just to listen, and at a certain point, I'll ring a bell and say, please switch roles, and you'll switch roles and repeat that. Okay? Any questions? Yeah? Oh, yes, please, thank you. yes, please, thank you, I love you. If you want to record your half of the conversation, please get your recorder out and get ready and do that. Okay. All right, ready, set, person number one, if you'd begin, please.
To others, I would like to contribute during
Person number two, if you would begin, please. Just that if you know that, then you know that, okay? That's one aspect of it. The second aspect of it is the assumption that because there's a lot of energy, it's more meaningful than something where there isn't a lot of energy, which is just an interesting assumption.
So in two recent situations, both involving, you know, my teacher, my sister Helen, in one situation, I felt all of this, and I was able to, it was factual, true, beneficial, unendearing, and disagreeable, and I, because of the email class, and because I've been practicing with it, I realized I need to say something, and I did, and it was actually fine. And in the second situation, same situation, I would say I was so angry. I did not say anything, and it feels like, what's the conditioning? It feels like, of course, that succeeds in making me a separate person and making, I'm a victim and whatever, I don't know. So I don't know, I just feel like there's so much here to see that I'm not seeing yet. And I feel like I have seen so much about this, and I'm approaching it in such a new way than I ever have before. So,
and is part of that approaching it in a new way simply being curious about the process instead of
not taking it personally? I felt like I was going on a workshop. Isn't this fascinating? I mean, it's all like, wow, this is really fascinating. Mm-hmm. So yes, being very curious and not. Wow, isn't that interesting? I mean, I really do find it quite intriguing and interesting.
Well, I just told Ashwini I'm going to start making notes for my newsletter articles, right? Because I always have these things I think, oh, that would be a good newsletter article. And then by the time it's time to write it, of course, it's completely gone. I have no idea what I was thinking about, and I can't think of a single thing. And now with that preamble, I have no idea what I was thinking about. But it had to do with that.
Yeah.
What? Do you know what it is?
Yes.
Oh.
Has it something to do with internal and external processing?
Well, yes, partially. But it has more to do with how the process that we are conditioned to do of figuring something out is actually only serving continuing the karma.
Okay.
And so I think you can go now, Joyce. You ready to go home? That did it? So with the first one that you said, you've had this relationship with this woman for a long time, right? All your life, as a matter of fact. And it's always gone the same way. And it's always been the same story. I know, because I've known you for a lot of years. And well, it's always the same story, right? Because she's the way she is, and you're the way you are, and it's so upsetting, and it's so this, and it's so that. And what do I do with that? How do I? And so, if anybody can relate, right? We're just in the same story, telling the same story, as if somewhere in that story is the solution. But of course, it isn't. And so what you did this time was what you didn't do before, which is get really upset and say something. And it was fine. Right? That was
what I needed her to do. Imagine!
Yes. And to me, that's such a perfect example of what I think we're going for here. Right? Because we get so caught in an identity, in a karmic orientation. And because the karmic orientation is framing everything for us, that's the only thing we can see. And so we keep seeing the same thing, hoping that looking at it some more, and especially thinking about it and talking about it some more, is going to provide some sort of way out of it. But what you did was drop the story and simply respond to what was there in the moment, and you got a completely different result. Because there never was anything going on in reality. It was all in the karmic orientation.
Okay, you have to say.
Well, we could say that you created Helen. You created her. You then reacted to her, to your creation, you acted in the same way. You projected that. She she was who you projected her to be for decades, right? And the first time you didn't go with that story, she was completely different. Because the odds are good she always was.
Well, what I know is there was a... What it required for me was there's like this barrier... The only way I can describe it is there's this barrier, a barrier of fear to get past, to be able to say something.
Yes.
And it doesn't feel like she was completely different. It feels like she's... It feels like I was completely different. It feels like she's continuing to be who she is. You know what? It's kind of where I am is I get what you're saying theoretically, but it feels like a theory because
I have
other people in my family go, oh my gosh, she is such a challenge. You know, it's not like...
Oh, of course. How many people are wildly supportive of Donald Trump? Nobody? Huh. We got just had an entire room full of people share an opinion. Think what a family can accomplish.
Yes. Right, which doesn't lead us nowhere, right? So, I mean, what's wonderful about this, which is fantastic about practice, I see that it's my work. What I'm really interested in seeing is how trying to solve it is just keeping it going, and
yes.
I got to drop that. I don't see what I'm doing to maintain the karma, I guess is what I'm saying. I don't even know what I'm saying.
That's okay. You'll look at
it's
it again.
It's only day one, Anne.
Yeah. This is. We've been here for an hour and a half, so we're good. But I think that when you sit with it a little bit, it'll come together. I'm going to say Elizabeth.
I really appreciate what was said. To quote somebody, the barrier of fear, because what I was looking at was factual, true, beneficial, and endearing, disagreeable. I guess that might be common here.
That what?
That might be common. But,
We don't want to make somebody feel bad.
And in some cases, why would this one person, do I go straight to resentment when I never, say, I feel like you don't listen to me. Or I tried to say it and then I gave up years ago. So I just go straight to resentment now. I don't understand, but then when that person said barrier of fear, I was like, yeah, there's a barrier of fear because there's something about, because our English isn't our first language, I can't really bring this up and we have different social, economic backgrounds and then she's going to tell her husband. But I don't know why there is this like barrier. There is a barrier of fear underneath everything. Like, it's too much to rock the boat because it's because of the language and so cultural differences or something like that. Like, it's not like...
Well...
There's shame. Like, I'm going to then be the weird... You know how there's this threat under it. I'm going to be the weird one. Because in my... with my friends, I would be, like, totally acceptable to say, like, hey, I feel like I'm not heard or whatever. Be like, oh, I'm sorry. Say that again, please, or whatever. But anyway, I just... because she said barrier of fear, I just saw a lot there.
Mm-hmm. That you approach this with fear because of all those things that you laid out.
Yeah, I'm not even aware of it. It's just like she's,
Yes, and not, I'm not
going to... Just go straight to resentment.
Yes, exactly. And there it is, right? So there's the karmic story. I mean, you could just lay it right out there. Because it's a cultural thing and because of her language and because then I don't want to be weird and then she's going to tell her husband. And I don't know where that came from except he's obviously scary.
I don't want to be not like me.
Yeah, I don't want him to not like me, and so I'll just resent. As if those go together. But they do in a karmic story. Right? All hang together.
Where the fear isn't even acknowledged or seen or conscious. It's like an iceberg barrier of fear under there.
Yeah, well, if we just, you know, say ego is fear, which it is, then yes. I mean, with everything, if everybody looks at whatever their story is, there's fear in it. Right? You have to be the way you are. You have to do the things you have to. Right? Now, if we step back from it, no, we don't. But we believe we do. And because we believe we do, then that whole story exists, and we believe that that story is true. And the really fun part of, to me anyway, is, and so I go to resentment. Well, if you're not going to do anything about it, why resent her? I mean, she's the way she is. There's the situation. You're not going to confront it. Why resent her?
Well, that's what I'm seeing now is like, it's like I'm not even, it's like just the cowardly part of it.
Well, it's, I would say it's the karmic part of it.
Mm-hmm.
Right? That's the kind of place where we get stuck. I mean, it doesn't occur to us that, well, this is basically silly, right? So I'm in this relationship with this person. I don't know who this person is. I'm wildly curious. I'm going to ask you as soon as I get you in that room. What the hell is this? But I know that's not the point. You're in this relationship. You've got all these reasons that you are not going to address this issue, and it doesn't occur to us, then why would I trouble myself over it? Why would I ever think about it again? Why not just decide she's adorable? And her husband is really cute and charming.
He is.
I rest my case.
I don't know. It was like all this was so hidden before this exercise.
Yes, which is the whole deal, isn't it?
With this person.
Yeah, well, with that person, with all most of us, with an awful lot.
Yeah.
Right? Because we just get into these things that we believe are true, that we don't examine, that they don't strike us as odd or interesting or...
Carol below and then Carol above.
Yeah, we have Carol Ann.
Well, two things strike me. One, in your communication book, it says something about...
Can people hear? Yeah.
Why would it be upsetting to ask for something from an adult level and then be afraid of what the response would be? So I've been working with that a little bit. That's very exciting.
Okay, so as an adult, you can ask for something.
Yeah, and if they say no, it's really not crushing. Because
no, Carol.
You just go, okay.
Oh, okay.
But I mean, I always thought it was.
Uh-huh.
And so with the karmic thing, I was with some family and friends over the holidays, and the first day was great. I thought, oh, this is awesome. It's working. I've arrived, you know. And the next day...
I'm enlightened,
thank
God.
Happened, all of this help, you know, and it's all gone now. And the next day was right there, you know, so there was the, you know, just screeching in my head, you know, like, why don't they see it, you know? How come, they're saying, we just don't know what's the matter. I'm like, oh my God, it's so obvious, you know. And but the response didn't come out of my mouth, you know, because I was aware, like you're talking about, when you see that you're caught in it and you're having all the feelings, but I was able to watch it, you know, and go. And the little, still small voice was going, like, just, it's like coaching lately, you know, like, just wait, you know, something's about to happen. Or,
just wait, something's about to happen. I can't tell if you, the still small voice got still and small.
And yeah, like it'll say.
You hate to yell out the still small voice.
No, yes, there you go. But and it was true. It was like, that's not about you. And it sounds so obvious. I've been knowing, you know, saying that for decades, but it was so clear that what's happening, they're going to find their timing to fix it when it's obvious for them. And that, and it was kind of like, this is, but what is your stuff that you're, like, it's easy to project, right? I want to fix you. That's way easier than it is to sit there and go, okay, well, where is, you know,
yes,
where am I looking, where am I not taking care of what's happening over here? Mm-hmm. And it was almost like, what a workshop, you know, just going on there. And none of the usual outbursts and stuff. But it was so informative to see. It was like a shift,
uh-huh,
you know?
Uh-huh.
Like, I see that, but this is me projecting, and probably other people in the room would not think those people are that way.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
And it's such
So previously, you would have spent that time judging them and going crazy inside your own head because they're so obviously the way they are and wrong and they don't know it. And then to be able to watch all of that projection going on and realize that the only thing that's significant for you is what's going on with you. And, of course, the coolest part of all, having that mentoring voice talking you through staying there and and having the focus be inward and not feeling bad, obviously, that you were judging these people or that all of this was going on, but instead just being walked through the workshop of...
Because in the past it would be like, oh my God, I'm so judgmental, I hate myself, you know. And if
well, I hate them and then I hate me.
I hate them.
Yeah, and then I hate them and then I hate me.
And
over a holiday, you know, for an entire day, there could be a lot of that back and forth.
A lot of stuff, you know.
Yeah.
But you don't... yeah, I don't know. When something shifts, it's like, oh, there's a choice one day that there wasn't.
Well, and the choice is not hate them, hate me.
Yeah.
Because for a while, it's just hate them. A lot of hate them, right?
What is wrong with them? They're even asking what's wrong with them, and I could say it. But is it the time? No. Mm-hmm. Because the little voice is saying, it's not about them.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so, yeah, that's really interesting.
Yeah.
I'm projecting all of this, and another person in the room would see it very, very differently.
Yeah.
Even though I'm... okay, this is what came. I know that what's happening isn't what I think it is, but I don't believe it. That's a weird place to be, huh?
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
I know it's happening. I know what they're saying is this is an illusion, but I don't believe it. But because I'm observing it and there's this little talk going on about, come on, come back to yourself, then I'm starting to, it's starting to shift a little, you know?
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Love practice.
I love practice.
Carol.
Well, I was riding in the car with my friend and she's driving. And she was going 40 and 25 mile an hour zone. I pointed out to her, do you know this is like 25?
Can you hear?
So she said, okay.
So I'm going to reflect, Carol.
Okay.
You're driving with a friend.
Yeah.
She's driving 40 in a 25 mile zone.
Right.
And you point that out to her and say, you're driving in a 20, you know, you're doing 40 in a 25 mile zone.
Right. And so she slows down. And then.
So she slows down.
Yeah. And then later on, we're on a really curvy road, and it's a 50 mile an hour road, and she's going 62. So I say, you go.
But who's counting?
She's got one of those cars where you can see in big letters how fast she's going. I say, I'm going 62 in a 50 mile an hour zone, and she said, okay, I'll slow down. So this was factual, true, and beneficial, but it was, I didn't say it in an endearing or agreeable.
You didn't say it in an endearing?
No, I didn't. And the things that came into play was the sub-personality is, you got to, you know, the scolder, like, rules are made to be followed, you're not following the rules, going 25 is a courtesy, you know, It's not necessarily unsafe, but it's a courtesy to these people in this neighborhood. So she's doing it wrong, and...
So I'm just going to reflect, right? So the conditioning you were watching is the sub-personality that's the rule follower, and that scolds and basically says, you have to go 25, it's a courtesy.
Yeah. And usually I see, I get really irritated, well, ego gets irritated when people aren't following these rules that I know about, and... I see this process, and often, most of the time, I choose not to talk about it. It's just kind of an entertaining thing that's happening in my mind, you know. And but in this case, it was different, because she's breaking the law and my rules.
Is it entertaining when, is the scolding entertaining? Or is it just you're in there pointing out all the things people are doing wrong?
No, it's entertaining that I'm seeing the process again, and I'm learning from it.
Ah.
Yeah, like, oh, here it is again, oh, right. And then I see, well, what rules of mine are they breaking? Or what rules of ego are they breaking? Mm-hmm. And I don't know, there's just... I'm just happy that I'm learning about this and how it operates.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. That you're seeing that process go on in you instead of just living it out.
Right.
And annoying your friends.
Right, yeah.
And increasingly not being invited to ride along with them.
Yeah.
All right. Good.
Pleasure. And then Mark.
Yeah, I see the process of scolding people in communication.
Sherry, I'm going to, this side of the room, shall I reflect?
Sure, yeah.
So process of scolding.
Yes, I can speak loudly. Scolding other people is because I'm in conversation with kind of thinking what to say. And the thinking, I'm conversing with ego, and it becomes... complicated, difficult thing, and then just like, well, just say it.
Okay, so you and I are talking, and you're in there.
Yeah. Thinking what to say.
Thinking what to say, thinking, going over it, going, what am I doing? Just kind of nattering on while, and you're in there, you're thinking about, and then finally you just run out of patience, right? Just say it.
No, the ego just tells me, just say it.
Uh-huh.
Because, and I feel like, okay, if I just say it, we will end that conversation with ego.
Uh-huh.
I'll have a break from thinking what to say.
Oh, aha. Uh-huh. So the only way you can get a break from the conversation inside your head is to blurt something out.
Blurt something out, and it's usually received as scolding.
Uh-huh. Because what was going on in this conversation was a little judgmental, a little critical, maybe?
About other people. I'm suspecting it was just to keep me in the conversation until... we kind of run out of time, or have to say something,
uh-huh.
or I'll be tired, and I'll be begging for a break, and then it'll tell me, well, I'll just say this.
Uh-huh.
And what's this is usually
not well received.
Not endearing.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
And often not beneficial.
Uh-huh.
But and then also I see this conversation was mostly about what is right?
Uh-huh.
Is this right? Is this wrong? And there is this standard of right and wrong that I have to achieve with ego, which is unachievable, and that's just to keep me in this loop.
Uh-huh.
And then I'll ask, okay, well, we're out of time.
And so then you say something
that
is wrong, basically.
Yeah.
I mean, there's the relief of at least you've ended this.
Yeah.
But it would you get told that it's wrong, or somebody's going to tell you it's wrong, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And then ego will tell me I'm wrong.
Yeah.
See, one more time.
Yeah.
And then and another game it plays is, okay, well, you can't find the right thing to say. No, don't say anything. Let them say something, and then you can resent them for
resentment.
Yeah, for saying something that I didn't communicate, or I will resent myself for not saying something.
Wow.
Yeah. It's a perfect setup.
Yeah. Yeah.
It really brings to mind that the compassionate speech is not necessarily compassionate towards the other person. It's also compassionate here. Right? Because everything that you're talking about, you're getting abused, as a consequence of which ego gets to scold or ego gets not to say anything, and then you're left in that place of getting the beating.
Yeah, being scolded.
Being scolded.
Yes. Uh-huh. And that rings true, because I often hear, well, you scolded them, it's okay. Look, I scolded you. Right? So we are both scolded.
Yeah.
And that kind of somehow justifies scolding them.
Right.
Because
yeah. You got in trouble too.
I got in trouble too. Yeah.
Yeah. It's crazy, isn't it? All this stuff, you know, it goes on in here, and we cannot notice it for a really long time. And then we start looking at it like this. It's nuts.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah, so I can treat other people any which way as long as I get beaten.
Yes, and the setup is so I don't look at the ego. I don't look at what's
right.
going on. And it can hide here in the plain sight.
Yeah.
It's just like
boiling.
Oh, let's just throw hot water at them.
Yeah.
And just don't look at me. And then come back and let's beat you here.
Yeah.
But we missed, like, who's...
Who's orchestrating the whole thing? Yeah, yeah.
Mark,
I just thought this totally fascinating. I took group number 3, which is factual, truthful, beneficial, but not endearing, not whatever the other one was. And when I was talking about it, I had decided somewhere along the line that I only did this with people that were close to me. That people that I don't know, I would probably never say something to them which would be not endearing and not friendly or beneficial. Well,
agreeable.
Any of that stuff. Mm-hmm. I would just not say it. I wouldn't. And then as
Hang on a second. Can anybody relate to that? Right? It's not that it's not going on. Right? It's just, we're not going to say it.
We're not going to say it.
Yeah.
But then it hit me. As soon as the words came out of my mouth about strangers, it dawned on me that there was nothing any different with people who are close to me. I'm assuming I know what is right, truthful, beneficial for them. But even that is just as much a projection as it is would be on strangers. And so there's no difference at all. So that's why we just don't say anything, right?
Well, yeah. And I don't know if this is true for you, but it seems true for a lot of people, that people who are close to you have to put up with you. I mean, that's one of the agreements, isn't it? As far as I can tell, that's why people like family so much. Right? Because they treat each other in ways that they would never treat strangers. And yet there's just some kind of an agreement that, yeah, but, you know, it's okay because we're family. Yeah?
Not always, but yes.
Yeah. Well, we're only talking about the, you know, if it's sweet and kind and agreeable and beneficial and all of that, you can do that with everybody, right? People who are close to you, total strangers, people in stores, doesn't matter. Right? But it's that other one where you know you would never say that kind of thing to a stranger, but somebody who is close to you, you would say it. And you've added a second element there to me, which is you have believed, maybe before tonight, that you knew something about them that made that all right for you to say it to them.
Which is the only reason I would do it with somebody who's close to me, because I think I know them, okay? Whereas with a stranger, I already know I don't know them, so I don't know what is right, what is factual, and what's truthful, and what's beneficial, and all that other kind of stuff. Which is why I'm likely to, you know, to be, you know, not say anything.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I stumble over the other one, which is really no different.
No different at all. Yeah. Well, and the idea that because you know something about somebody, there would be permission to say something. That's a really interesting one, too. It's kind of back to Carol and her friend. You know, you do know that you're going 40 in a 25-mile-an-hour zone, right? It's like, I don't know if that's the kind of thing you would say to somebody you didn't know well. Maybe yes, maybe no. You know, maybe that there's a degree of familiarity that allows us to say those kinds of things to one another. Yeah. Who did you say next?
Well, we're at the end of group.
Oh.
So we're going to have to hold everyone else for tomorrow. Yeah?
Okay. That's it?
That's it. So our homework assignment is to record your insights from this group as you sit with this matrix, for lack of a better word. Just what drops in for you around what you see about the conditioning operating in all of these situations of communication?
Yeah,
Jill? Will you be posting that matrix?
Is it printed out anywhere?
It isn't printed out, but I guess I can look to see if I can write it out.
Okay. Write it out?
Yeah.
Wow. What a gal. Michael, did
Same
you?
Ah.
Okay.
So our takeaway from tonight is simply that a way to start to examine our process of communication, right? That there's a framework that we can use to look to see what's really going on. Because something is always going on that prompts us to say something or not to say something. And if we start to look at the situations in which that is so, we can actually understand what the karma is that's operating us and interfering. Well, when we examine the situation, any situation, right, my communication with my sister, there's a way in which we can understand the karma that's operating us, that's interfering with communication, right? And that's the note to clarity, that the lack of clarity in the situation is because we are being operated by the karma. If I'm looking through the karma, I can't see anything other than what the karma is presenting. And so if I look at the situation from any framework, like this one or all of the frameworks we're going to be looking at in the retreat, there's a chance I can see the karma operate, right? Which then gives me a perspective of the situation that's very, very different.
Does that hang together? Yeah?
Unless you're coming from nothingness, it's karma.
Well, that's what we get to look to see.
And if you don't make karma into any big thing, we could actually just say orientation.
Right.
Yeah, or the way you've been conditioned to see things. And we're always looking through that.
Not in
that. No.
Right.
No.
And it's a workshop.
Yeah. So if we begin to realize that we're seeing through a unique perspective, not through fact or truth, then we can start to tease it apart a little bit.
So if I'm suffering in a communication, I get to look to see what's in the communication, what's operating the communication that I might not have seen before because I'm only seeing through the lens that I'm in. Does that hang together?
Good. Now we get to sleep. All right. Thank you.